I want to get into us having a realistic, genuine time, personal time with the Lord that really means something. Okay, that's what I want to get in. You know, whatever it takes, please try to come so you can get the light at this early age in your life that you need to have a time with the Lord.
Amen.
Now, we start out with life practices, and this is a kind of an introduction to a time with the Lord, and that is, there's two verses here that I want to emphasize. One is 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Through whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
When we talk about having a time with the Lord, being with the Lord, being one with the Lord, being according to the Lord, any kind of words that are so similar or synonymous with each other, we're talking about also a fellowship. You see, this is a flow. A flowing, a moving, an anointing.
Yeah.
All these wonderful words are in the Bible. And I'm just using one of them here as a kind of a handy device to show that God is a moving, flowing, going on. He's like a current.
Yeah.
He's like a river flowing gently, smoothly. You see, He's not a torrent. He's not a raging river. He's not out of control. He's just flowing like the gentle waters of the, what's the Old Testament river? The, pardon? The Shiloh, right, the Shiloh River. Just the gentle speaking, the gentle moving of the Shiloh River. God is like this. He's just flowing. Right now, tonight, you have to believe He's flowing inside of you.
Oh, yeah.
And He's flowing inside of me. I have to believe this. See, we'll get into some more detail next week. But God is a flowing, moving river from the day we receive Jesus Christ in a personal, genuine way. Right? He's in us, moving, flowing, right now. Right now, He's there. Okay? And then I want to mention 1 John 1:3, which reads this way, that which we have seen, and this is John, the Apostle John talking, and heard, we report to you. And we can include ourselves in that you, that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. See, here we have the fellowship that climbs higher than 1 Corinthians, or at least I should say, complements it or supplements it. In that, here is a fellowship with others.
Amen.
That is still the fellowship of the triune God. The Father and the Son is mentioned in this verse, you see. So here we have a flowing and moving that's corporate, and here we also have a flowing in one verse that is a personal kind of thing that we have. All together, we need both sides, as we've mentioned before, to have a flowing, I need the triune God. I need Him. Without Him, there's no flow. Right? But I need the others that He has put the flow within. And I need to be in fellowship and in prayer and in communication with and in praying with and in all kind of exercising of the Spirit with, so that this flow that's in me is confirmed, it's strengthened, and to take it another level, it's even enhanced or amplified.
Wow.
It's stronger. There's not a stronger flow than when we come together. You see, you bring your little flow. It's still a flow. It's God.
Right.
Don't underestimate it. It's God. But when we all bring it together, we just can get sometimes totally
Amen.
Released to, you know, we don't know whether we're where we are, right?
Right.
We're just intoxicated with Christ.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And this is a good thing. This is really a good thing. They accused the early apostles of being that way. You know, they were inebriated with new wine and things like that. Well, what happened? They were beside themselves with Christ.
Amen.
Right.
See, and so we need Amen. Fellowship. Amen. We need the move of God. Amen. We need something flowing all the time.
Right.
Flowing, flowing,
right.
flowing, flowing. Now, Amen. Let me say one word. Whether, especially I would say this when you're alone or that part of the day when you're kind of by yourself and so forth, and you're doing things or you're working or you're studying or you're taking care of some responsibilities or you're whatever you're doing, this flow is a very, very sensitive thing. Very sensitive thing, you see. To the point that sometimes we really don't have the realization that God in Christ as the Spirit is flowing in us. We don't have to have the sensation of it to have the reality of it.
Amen.
Sometimes we just don't realize. But just wait. Just wait a minute. You just go and have a wrong thought. You just go and think something. Go and try to do something that's off, that misses the mark, that is displeasing to God, and you will find that flow is in action immediately.
Wow.
To stop you, to say, what are you doing? Halt, stop, alto, whatever.
Right.
See? Just... don't do this, right? Why? Because that proves something is flowing in you.
Right.
In you all the time. And sometimes it wells up in a positive way, like, oh, you know, even though I admit most of the flowing's words are stop or no, I admit that. But still sometimes he gives a positive thing.
Yeah.
Stop and pray.
That's right.
Stop and pray.
Right.
Take a little time. Call on my name right now, you see. To fellowship, sometimes we have to stop and just contact him a little bit, just to know he's there, I'm here, we're one. Oh, Lord Jesus, amen, I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Right? We need this. Don't we need
amen.
This?
Yes.
Nobody's exempt from daily exercising their spirit to enjoy the flow. This flow will just... it will wash away all the negative elements in your soul that reside there due to the fall of man and that reside in the soul. It will wash them away and replace them with the living element of God Himself. And that is the essence of transformation. There are many other lessons to learn, but the basic bottom line of it all is the flow must go on. See, you must keep the flow. Pay the price to keep the flow. If you do, you're going to be an overcoming brother or sister. You are, because God doesn't measure what we do outwardly as how successful we are, but how we kept the fellowship of His Son inwardly and obeyed His leading and moving inside of us, right? So this is what we treasure most of all. Now, I want to make this practical and so that all of us, including some of you that are very new, you're freshmen in college, whatever, and you've heard about a personal time with the Lord, but maybe you don't have the habit. You haven't gotten caught by it yet. You're not addicted yet. You can still jump up, dress real quick, and run out the door and barely get to class on time. Or work, or something like that. You can do that. See? A day's coming when you can't do that. If you have to do that, you'll say, this is not the way to live. This is not the way God wants me to have my daily life. See? you'll get to the point where if you get in a real tight jam and it's, well, do I eat breakfast or do I have a little time with the Lord? You'll choose the time with the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. See? Because you'll realize, you know, food is one thing, but food can't overcome in me.
Right.
Food can't prevail. But the flow can. I need the flow. I'll be a little hungry till lunch, but I'll have the flow. See, this is what we
Amen.
Need. See. Okay. A is having a personal time with the Lord. Okay. The first kind of experience was when Jesus was still on the earth. So this is not an indwelling thing. It's more like an experience. Even to us, it should serve like an illustration of being very personal, very intimate with Christ. Okay, and I'm reading the wrong part. This is Acts 6:24. I got ahead of myself. This is our experience, and this is in Acts. Sorry. Okay, it says, and the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it is not fitting for us to forsake the word of God. They were forsaking the very foundation of God's move on the earth. And they were serving tables because there were a lot of practical things to be done. And many things to be, you know, to serve the Lord is an all-inclusive thing. But you can never just be a practical person only. You must have the right priorities. And so these brothers, realizing the need, their function, and so forth, they said it's not right, it's not fitting to leave the Word of God. But brothers, look out. For 7 well-attested men from among you, full of the Spirit. It didn't say the best mechanics or the best whatever. It said full of the Spirit and of wisdom. You see, even if you're going to serve tables, you need the Spirit and wisdom. See, the flow never. There's no break from us needing the flow. Whom we will appoint over this need, but we will continue. I love this word, continue, steadfastly in prayer and in the ministry of the Word. And to minister the Word, they had to take in the Word. And they had to speak the Word to one another. You know, the Word was not canonized like our Bibles today. They had to work at it pretty diligently. But they needed to pray and take heed to the ministry of the Word to themselves and to others. You see? Well, from here you can see that the brothers right away, early in Acts, realized something was coming in to try to distract them from being personal and very intimate and solid with the Lord, and they wouldn't allow that. And even in their expression to the ones who would do it, they exhorted them, these brothers need to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. You see? So here is a good example of the situation. Okay. And then after that I put the Psalms, and they didn't put all the Psalms down here, I noticed. which they know when I write the Psalms or something like that, or the whole book or something. They're not supposed to, you know, write it all out. The Psalms is such a book. And I put this here because I was just thinking in my mind.
That's right.
I was thinking, you know, what book is so personal?
Right.
Where is it? You know, yeah. There's so many good passages and prayers and things like this. Mm-hmm. But what right. book is the, so personal Amen. Of a relationship between God and man?
Amen.
And I thought, well, at least I have to say the Psalms. If you read the Psalms, It has some other stuff. There's a little bit of history, a little bit of poetry, things like that, but mostly it's the interaction of fellowship between man and God. Right? Even in the prophecies that you find in Psalms, they're mostly interacting fellowship type things between us and Him. So that's why we love the Psalms. We don't love the Psalms for their wisdom as much as we love the Psalms for their intimacy. You see, they give us a way to touch Him by the men of that time, especially David, being so intimate with the Lord. And so we love Him for that reason. Okay. Anyway, however you look at it, you have to admit, the Psalms is a book of being very, very personal with the Lord. Okay, now, I want to kind of get into a few points to help you be convinced, okay? These are not so heavy. They're not heavy at all. But we have to start. We have to start, you see. Some of you have this thought in your mind, I need to have a personal time, but you're not too sure why or where or you know, just how much or what, whatever. It's a little bit fuzzy, you know. And sometimes you can go on for several years that way and go and be full of truth and meetings and all kinds of things, but you haven't set apart a way to get personal with Him, just you and Him, you know, me and the Lord, right? This is our need.
That's right.
Okay. Having a personal time, number one is you need to do it the first thing each day. You need to have a personal time immediately. Wake up and have it. You know, when I was younger, I used to do things and have a personal time, and I would tell people a lot of things about how to have the personal time, and don't get distracted while you're brushing your teeth, and you know, and things like that. I had a lot of practical tips, you know, so forth. Now my secret is this: if I wake up and I'm alert, I don't budge until I have had a good amount of time, personal time with the Lord. See. One of these days, your situation may be like that, but this is the way I guarantee that it's the first thing, because I have not even let anything have a chance to come in and replace the first thing. We need to contact the Lord early and firstly. You see, then this lays a foundation for our whole day.
That's right.
But it must be personal. It must be personal. Okay? Look at this here. These verses. It says, an example of the Lord in Mark 1:35, and rising very early in the morning while it was still night, He went out and went away to a deserted place, and there He prayed. You see? Would you say that was personal? Or was He out there having conversation and discussions with somebody else? No. He made sure that he could have this one-on-one time with the Lord. Right? To me, that was really good. Then you have Lamentations 3:22-23, which is from the Old Testament, and it maintains itself as a great principle even in the New Covenant. And that is Jeremiah speaking says, it is Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed, right? Well, that's true, more than we know. But he goes on, for his compassions do not fail. They do not fail. How about that? Then listen to how practical he gets. They are new when? Every morning. Noon, afternoon, late at night. What? Every morning. His compassions are new. They're brand new. They're fresh. You know, there's a turn of time in the Christian life. And one and the thing that's reduced to the smallest denominator of the whole turn of time is a day. God has just ordained a day and a night, you know, to happen. And 24 hours just happens and we get a fresh start. If yesterday was a great start, if it's a great start, forget about it. You need to have Christ today in a new way. If yesterday was a bummer, forget it. His mercies. See, it doesn't say his command or whatever. It says his mercies. It doesn't matter what kind of day you had or what kind of night you had or what you think you are. Or his mercies. Not to mention his love and grace, but his mercies are new every morning.
Amen.
You see, we need to see this, and then to make sure we don't miss the point, he says, "Great is your faithfulness." Your faithfulness to do what? To show mercies every morning, 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 morning. Let me tell you just a little something. You know what? Our day starts out way down here at kind of ground zero, right? This is our day. This is our starting point. Right here, we touch the Lord and we enjoy Him. And His mercies seem like always they're right on the tip of our finger. Right on the tip of our mouth, our lips. You see, we enjoy His mercies right here. You see, but if you jump up like a wild person and you go through all kind of things and you analyze this and you think through your day and you're full of anxiety already about what you're going to do and what you're not going to do and you're worried about this and that and you're worried about who knows how, you know, a legion of things could come in. Right here. And it's not still, it's quite early, but it's not the first thing.
Right.
See, right here, you find that it is about 2, 3, 4, 5 times as hard to contact Christ than it is right here. See, once you start to think about what you need to do and what's there for you to do and what you left undone the night before and what lies before you and all kind of things like this, I'm telling you, it's like a graph. It just the harder you put it off, the harder it is to touch the Lord. At some point, if you have put it off, you better have a time in your day when you say stop everywhere, and you better go off into the wilderness where Christ did and pray, because you're not gonna overcome. You see, you need a beginning. It's like the old rocket launches out of Cape Kennedy. You know, you had certain stages. The big boost, you had to have the first, and then when it was done, that got jettisoned, and you took off with the next one, and finally you just had one little thing, you know, going in space. But you never could get there until you had this initial time with the Lord. Now I ask you something. I ask you all, in all honesty, don't you sometimes think, I failed. Why did I fail? Where was the Lord? What? I've been hearing He's our supply, He's our life, He's everywhere. But I failed. I'm failing. And I feel dead, and I don't feel full of life. And I feel like I failed. And I don't understand. I don't understand. Is the Bible real? Are the brothers saying true things to me or not? What's the deal here? You see? And very easily you can say, everything is true. Nothing ever changes. But a lot of things depend on whether you have a launch. See, you've got to get a launch. Okay. Some launches are bigger than others. You know, at this point, I don't care. You just have to, you have to get off the ground. The first, that's why it's the first thing each day. You know, sometimes people have, it's not too often, but they just get a schedule that's not really good for this kind of fellowship that I'm giving right now, and they have to do things before they can do other things and this and that, and they, you know, the baby cries and the mother wakes up and, you know, they feed the baby and make the, you know, do all kind of things and so forth. You know, if you have to do a responsibility like that, you can still pray, Lord, I'm one with You, keep my heart, I love You, I'm open to You. And when that duty or responsibility is taken care of, then you still can have a fresh time with the Lord. You see? He can arrange that to be the first thing in your day, even though you had to do a little detour and you couldn't get out of it. But if you think you can just, well, I'm going to do these things and then I'm going to touch the Lord, you're going to find out the launch has already gone through the clouds, and you weren't on the space capsule. You know, I'm going back a few years, right? Otherwise, we don't have the launch illustration. Okay. Anyway, that's the way it was. Now, Romans 11:16, and if the root is holy, the branches are also the root. This is kind of snatched out of a little word about the Jews and the Gentiles and so forth, and from Romans 11. But the principle is so good, and it's kind of too good to pass over for what I'm doing. So I'm borrowing this verse from the context of the Jews and the Gentiles and use it for morning watch here. The root is holy. What is the root? The root is a thing that others don't see. It goes down. It's not public. It's not seen. It's not known. You see? If that part is holy, if you sink your roots into the triune God, the first thing, then the branches have no choice but to be holy also. You see? You have to take care of this root. Okay? Are you convinced?
Yes.
See? Not many yeses. I've got a big job to do. I still do. I need this other meeting. Can you, you know, some kind of time machine or something? We can work it out. Okay, two. It needs to be in a definite place. Don't get up wondering and then wandering. Okay. Yeah. No. I went through this phase. I didn't know. I just knew to get up, but I didn't. And so the wandering turned into a wandering, and I couldn't find the right place. And so that shot my morning watch. See, we need to have a set place where we go and we have our time, and it's like the Lord went off in Mark 1:35, and he was alone and he prayed. In a definite place in Matthew 6:6, look at this excellent verse by the Lord. Excellent verse. But you, and they ask him, basically they said, teach us to pray. How do we pray? So before he told them to pray anything, he set a kind of a condition to have your time of prayer. See? And this is what we should do as well, or the prayer is not going to come later if the condition is robbed. You can't just sit down at the table with four other brothers having breakfast and have your morning time and expect you're able to really set your mind on your spirit. You're not. Okay? Okay, the Lord told them, but you, when you pray, listen to this, enter into your private room. Amen. I ask all of you, where is your private room? Right. And I don't mean room in the sense of literal. I just mean your private place, your private thing, your private realm. You know, where is it that you and the Lord are personal and alone and uninterrupted and not distracted? Where is that? You need a place like that, that when you wake up, you don't have to think about it. See. And rising every... No, excuse me. Enter into your private room, and then it says, and shut your door and pray. You see, I don't believe this is an accident. The Lord says, shut your door. Shut your door. Things are going to come in your door if you don't shut it. Amen. That private place has a door on it. And it must be shut. If not, things are going to just flow through there and they are going to distract you. Your mind's going to be distracted. It's going to come in. You're going to be thinking about things. And before you know it, you look at your watch and you say, oh, I don't have any time left. And you didn't have any real personal time with the Lord. Why? Because your door was open. You have to shut it. Shut it to the thoughts of the day. Shut it to the worries of the day. Shut it to the burdens of the day. Shut it to the responsibilities of the day. Shut it to shut it to everything except God Himself. You see? And there you can be really personal with Him. Then it says, the Father who is in secret. I like this. Yeah. It's just so good that we could be personal enough and intimate enough. That there's a secret about it. Yeah. You know? There's some secret. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Don't you think the disciples were always thinking, there's just some secret with this guy that we're following? He has a secret.
Amen.
And Philippians, Paul said, you know, that he definitely had a secret, you know. Okay. Where are we here? We pray in secret. He'll see us and will repay us. Of course, we know we get repaid by receiving the answers of our God-inspired prayer. Okay, now three. You have to have a goal for this time. Don't determine to have to do this the first thing of the day and have a place and so forth and not know what your goal is. You must know there's a goal to it. See? And what is that goal? Touch the Lord.
Amen.
You could do so many things and miss the goal of that time, which is to touch the Lord in spirit, in your spirit. You see? Well, there must be this unique goal. I'm here, Lord. I'm open to you. I need you. I have your blood. I can come forward boldly to you, to the throne of grace, and I want to touch you. And later we'll get on into some more practical things about the Word and so forth. But we must have as a goal that it, the first thing, before anything else, we might be led to do some things in our so-called prayer closet, okay? But the first thing, the unique goal, is you got to touch the Lord.
That's right.
If you don't touch Him, nothing else. Not only is your morning watch not going to be satisfying and prevailing and overcoming for you, you see, but you can't do any of the other things properly that you have a burden to do. So we have to strengthen our spirit this way. You follow me? Okay. I know you want to, and I know this would be good for you. And also know that you can't just turn it on. What's the latest expression? 24/7. And I know you can't. You don't say, you know, every day of the week you say 24/7. See, I don't learn these expressions as fast as they come out, but they eventually I hear them long enough, and I finally ask somebody, what is 24/7? And they finally say, well, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so forth. Well, we need this 24/7/30 for days, and 12 for months, and 10 for decades, and we could list a lot of numbers out here, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Anyway, I just want people, I don't care what it sounds like. This is secret. This is between you and the Lord. It doesn't matter if you speak in Swahili. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
If you have a real touch with Him, this means everything, right? Okay, now. Here's the illustration I was talking about earlier, but I got to it too soon. This is an illustration of a woman while Jesus was still on the earth, okay? And this is in Mark 5. And this is an example of going for the touch for one reason. To touch. Okay?
Right.
When she heard the things concerning Jesus, which must have been a lot of things, she came up in the crowd behind Him and touched His garment.
Yeah.
For she said, if I touch even His garments, I will be healed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knew in her body that she was cured of the affliction. And look at this. And immediately Jesus.
Right.
This is a real transaction here going on.
Amen.
And immediately Jesus, realizing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments?
Whoa.
See?
Amen.
You know, we need to get the Lord's attention like this.
Amen.
Who's really banging on the door of a personal time today?
Mm-hmm.
See? Who touched? Well, that was good for that time, but now as a life-giving spirit with Christ inside of us, the first part of the day, in secret and in our closet, we need to startle ourselves a little bit, right? Who would touch the Lord? Just that much, you know? Think of the people on earth. Think of the Christians. And they lived a day, another day, another day, and they still didn't do one thing. The one thing. They didn't touch the Lord. John 4:24 is also quite good, because this shows the age changes. Just like I said, she was doing it in a physical way, but in John 4:24, Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship me must worship in spirit. That's a little s spirit, our spirit, and truthfulness, you see. Now you need to contact me in truth and in spirit. See, that's a touch. You can't say in spirit and truthfulness is not a genuine touch. That is equal to a genuine touch. Right? This is worship. You know, worship is not prostrating yourself. It's not lighting a candle. It's not eating a wafer. It's not any of these kind of things. It's your spirit touching the Lord in spirit and in truthfulness. See? Then contact. Lift off. Okay. Then Romans 8, 6b, I love this verse, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, especially the last half. But the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Life and peace. You know, we have a lot of songs that have something to do with peace in them and a river in them. Peace like a river. You know, peace almost has this river, concept to it. It's flowing peacefully like a river. Unregenerated people write poems like that. Peace, you know, it's as peaceful as a flowing river on a soft, cloudless day. I mean, they don't know Christ, but they think of it like this. See, when we set our mind on our spirit where Christ is, then we get life.
Amen.
That's a flow, and peace. And we see we're in the fellowship, the current, the moving.
Amen.
Of the Lord within. Do you see that? Okay. I'm just trusting the Lord speaks to you because I don't have the words, but I think the Lord can talk to you and impress you with this. He certainly impressed me when I first heard him. I didn't know what to do. As a Christian, I didn't know what to do with myself. And that was a shame. But I started to get help like this to know what to do with myself, you know. And it was so huge,
yeah.
So right. Great,
right.
That it's just a major thing. Anyway, we get life, and we get peace. Then I'd ask you to take these next two verses as together. I mean them to be together, because 1 Corinthians 14, actually that should be 13. 1 Corinthians 14, 13 says, my spirit prays. you know what I thought? First thing I came to my mind, I thought, you know, we use 2 Corinthians 14, 13 for the great dispensing of God.
Right.
The grace of Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, you know. But 1 Corinthians just reversed, you know, 14:13 says, my spirit prays. This is my little s, plus the possessive pronoun is in front of it. It's my spirit prays. Then you attach that with another part of a verse in Jude 20b. It says, praying in the Holy Spirit. This is how we build ourselves up. And this is the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that's not my spirit because it's also got an adjective in front of it with a capital H called Holy. So this is the divine Holy Spirit. My spirit prays, but somebody's praying in the Holy Spirit. Do you think these are Do you think these are two separate things in prayer, that my spirit prays, but it's separate from the Holy Spirit is praying? You think about it. Do you think it's separate? I had an experience today, and my spirit prayed, and I really enjoyed that. And then later in the day, the Holy Spirit prayed, and that was different, a different thing than what I had. They don't go together. They're apart from each other. I have a dual experience going on in my Christian life. My spirit is having one kind of enjoyment of God, and the Holy Spirit is bringing in another type of enjoyment of God. Is that logical? No, that's nonsense. That's worse than nonsense. That borders on I don't know what. I can't invent the word.
Exactly.
That's stupid. I don't want to say heresy because that sounds theological. I want to just say that's stupid. To say that my spirit prays and yet the Holy Spirit is not there, and or the Spirit, Holy Spirit prays and my spirit is just, duh. That's stupid.
Right.
Here we have in the Bible showing many. These are just many times where there's this reality that we can touch Him.
Amen.
Is it possible that my spirit could pray here? My spirit could pray. And the Holy Spirit could be praying, and we're praying as one, and that's not a touch with the Lord.
No.
Yeah. Mm.
That's right.
Mike said, He is joined to the Lord as one spirit. Is it possible? No, it's not possible. This is a really proof. You see, not only are we touching the Lord, but we're touching Him so intimately that we are mingled with the Lord in our touch. Every day needs to be a mingled day.
Amen.
See? You know, there was a time in history, in Christian history, I guess, in the United States about 20 years ago when it was real popular to be in something that had been raised up called the moral majority. Some of you that remember that, the moral majority. Most of you don't have a clue, do you? Okay, that's fine. I don't care about whether you're in the moral majority. I assume you are. I just take it for granted. How can you not be in the moral majority? But more important, how can you neglect the mingled minority? See, if you're in the mingled minority, then you not only get morals, you get God.
Amen.
You get everything.
Amen.
Right.
We need to start a bandwagon around and have some officers and national headquarters for the mingled minority. And boy, we will really start some people to thinking what's happening here. The mingled minority. Anyway, you need to touch the Lord adequately so that you're mingled with Him, okay? Now, finally, in Philippians 3:10, you see, at the very first of how Paul wanted to know Christ, the first thing he said was to know Him.
Amen.
The unique goal, to know Him.
Yes.
Amen. See, there are many aspects of Christ we need to know, but the overriding thing is that it's Him. We need to know Him. In the morning when we go to touch the Lord, to have a personal time, we need a unique goal of knowing Him.
Amen.
Okay? Lord, I want to know
Amen.
You. Everything about You. The unsearchable riches. Point by point. Aspect by aspect, I want to get to know You. Today, I want to touch You in some way that's so full of the riches of Christ.
Amen.
actually, something. Yeah. Something of God dispensed into us, right? Okay, now, number four is another practical thing. It needs to be the first thing, a definite place. There needs to be the goal of touching the Lord, and then you need to guard this time. Okay? Guard this time like it was, you know, like you were guarding, what's valuable? Anything valuable. Just guard this time. This is the valuable thing to guard, okay? Guard it more than anything, okay? In 2 Timothy 1:12, it says, "For which cause I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, Amen. And I am persuaded that he is able to guard my deposit Amen. Unto that day." You see? Guard that deposit. Well, you say, how does that relate to the personal time? Well, the personal time has everything to do with your deposit of Christ. You see? And God is willing to come in to do this kind of guarding if you will cooperate with Him. But if you don't cooperate with Him, the enemy will find a way to snatch it away from you. And I think we've all experienced that. He just snatches it away. You see? Well, we have to guard it because the deposit of God Himself in us is the most valuable treasure that is known to man. Then look at Hebrews 7:25. "Hence also He is able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to God through Him, since He lives always to intercede for them." Here is Christ. Listen to the words. He lives. And, you know, we come forward to Him. You know why? Because there's a comma here. There's a reason we can come forward to Him. It's because He's always living to intercede for us. He's always there. Always, always, always. What if we come forward to God and we find out, and if we could find out this way, we would find out, somebody would say, that you did good to come forward, but He's not here right now. He's not on the job right now. Yeah, He's not working right now. What can we do? See, this would shatter us. This would shatter us that we came forward and he was not on the job. See, now reverse it. You see, He is ever living. He's ever living to intercede. Every time we go to Him, every time, you see, He is there. He will meet us. When we come forward to Him and draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to us. Every single time, you see. I want to impress you that He is on the job. He is on the job. You know, 24/7. He is on the job, and we need to pick up the habit, because if He ever lives and He's the prototype and He's the model, then we need to ever live in the same kind of way, okay? Then turn the page, B. I just want to say, after you have a launch, you need to do this. You need to continue fellowship with the Lord all day. By what? By praying conversationally. This is so easy. It's easier than rolling off a log. If you can't pray conversationally, then you... I don't know. I don't know what to think about you. To pray conversationally... Can you say something to the Lord? Can you talk to Him? Can you speak to Him? Can you confess to Him? Can you tell Him, I don't like the way things are? Can you tell Him I love You? Can you tell Him I need You? Can you tell Him, Lord, I just am here and I need You now, you know? Or, Lord, right now nothing is happening that's really big about anything. But, you know, I just need You now. I just need You. I just need You to be my person right now.
This is just a little talk. A very little talk. Just walking across the campus. Lord, I need you. Or, Lord, thank you. Or, Lord, I love the Spirit in my spirit. Or, you know, this is where we can call on the Lord. Not knowing what to say, we can say, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh. And we're trying to just, you know, go to our fellowshipping organ, right? Oh, Lord. See, we're the old Lord Jesus people.
Amen.
We are. We call, oh, Lord.
Amen.
In Paul's day, he was throwing them in jail for doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
You see? And we have the liberty to call oh Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You, while you're opening the keys to your car, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
While you put on your seatbelt, Lord Jesus, I need
you.
While you're doing it, whatever you're doing. Oh, Lord. Lord, remember Aaron. Lord, he needs you this afternoon.
Amen.
Just like that. Paul, in his writings, he would say, I make mention of you in my prayers. It's a good way to make mention. It doesn't say he did something real drastic. It just said, I made a mention. So just make Aaron. I make mention, you know. So, you know, sometimes during the day, I know of a circumstance, and this is a real joy to me. I just said, Lord, be with so-and-so right now. Be with them this afternoon. Be with them tonight. I just want to detail it, you know, Lord. You have to break through in this situation. Lord, you know it. Oh, Lord. I don't have time to stop, but I can just keep this. And I can say this, you know, 5-10 times in you know, one day. It's easier than sitting in that chair. It's so easy to continue to fellowship with the Lord by conversational prayer. It's so easy. Okay, look at these verses. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Unceasingly pray. You see, unceasingly pray. This is not a verse for monks in a monastery that are at an altar for 17 straight hours who are really numb in their whole legs and their brain is spaced out because they're in a trance of some sort. No, this is not for that. This is for us.
Amen.
This is for us while we're walking, working,
that's right,
doing things, even if we... This is for all kinds of human, real genuine human situations. We should pray unceasingly.
Amen.
In Luke 18:1, the Lord said, and he told him a parable. To the end. Catch the end. Don't get lost in the parable, okay? The end of it was that they ought always to pray and not lose heart.
Amen.
And you know what? You know who the most guilty person in here of this is? It's me. It's just human nature to lose heart. You just say it's not happening. I just need to forget about it. No. You need to pray and not lose heart.
Amen.
It doesn't go right. Don't lose heart.
That's
just pray.
Right.
The end of the lesson is pray and not lose heart. See? Boy, if we knew how many things we had prayed about and it sometime later lost heart about, we'd be so amazed. It would be something, right? Then lastly, 1 Corinthians 12:3b. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Can you believe that verse is in the Bible? You know what? You know what? If somebody says to me, I'll bet you I can find somebody that can say, oh Lord, that Jesus is Lord and not be in the Holy Spirit. I say, okay, go ahead and do it. Then they would say, this means this, then this does, this means it's not right. Oh, well then what does it mean? What does this mean? You see, no one can say Jesus is Lord. Okay. You say, oh, I can get somebody to really, you know, fake it or do something falsely, or they're not even believers or something. I mean, you can say something like that, but you cannot, you still, after you have, you know, gone through that mental labyrinth or whatever, you still have to face that no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. And this is the essence. This shows the power. This shows that the Spirit is absolutely linked to the name of Jesus. You see, Jesus and the Spirit they are inseparable.
That's right.
Amen.
And we can say, and if we don't have anything to say, can't we say, Lord Jesus? Can't
we
say that?
Yes.
Can't we just say, Lord or Jesus? Tell you the truth, sometimes I think if we just say, oh, the Lord will be there.
Amen.
He's a lot more willing than we think to be with us, right? Okay.